You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 19th of October 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, following on from yesterday where we had more calls from the government for more censorship and to take away anonymity from social media, I thought we would have a look at the actual behaviour of some of these MPs themselves. But just before we go into that, I just have to say something about Marc Francois yesterday. And I've always thought he was a pretty good MP. He was a good Brexiteer. He's always seemed to me to be one of the more conservative out of the Conservative Party. But yesterday he was just absolutely dreadful, calling for the online harm bill to be stiffened up and for there to be essentially for politicians to be put in the same category as groups with protected characteristics. I get the impression that they actually want to make politicians into minorities, to give them minority status so that they can't be criticised by the public. And I was really disappointed to see Marc Francois supporting this. I would have thought he would have been more supportive of free speech and the way that changes to how the internet works and changes to our democracy is exactly what they keep promising they're not going to do. They keep saying we're not going to give in to the terrorists, we're not going to change our democratic values, and yet here they are calling for more censorship. Very shameful, really. But as I say, today I really want to concentrate on the behaviour of these MPs themselves, because they're complaining about the general public and the general level of discourse that there is on social media, and yet the actual behaviour of some of these MPs really does leave a lot to be desired. I mean, we had Angela Rayner from the Labour Party a couple of weeks back calling the Conservative Party scum and saying they were homophobic and Islamophobic, and there are plenty of homosexuals in the Conservative Party, far more than their percentage of the population. There's quite a lot of homosexual representation in the Conservative Party. So she was really just using ad hominems to attack them. But that's really just language. I mean, when it actually comes down to the behaviour of some of these MPs, it's absolutely atrocious. Former Labour MP Claudia Webb has been found guilty of harassment after threatening to throw acid at her boyfriend's female friend. And she's only recently former Labour. She's still an independent MP. This is a member of parliament that has threatened to throw acid in somebody's face. I mean, this is quite incredible. Would you have ever believed that you could read a line like that in a newspaper 10 or 20 years ago? Acid attacks is something that's fairly new to Britain. It's really started happening in the last 10 years, and it's used usually by gang members in the multicultural centres like London, because they know that they're likely to get stop and searched, and if they get stop and searched and they have a knife on them, then the knife will get taken. It's much easier for them to carry a bottle and pretend that it's a bottle of water and actually have caustic substances within this. And there was a spate of acid attacks a few years back. It seemed like we were reading about one every week that was occurring. And I haven't really read about that many of them recently. Maybe it's died down. Maybe they're just not really talking about it anymore. But there was a while when London was the acid attack capital of the world, I think second only to India. Throwing acid at people isn't something that is traditionally associated with Europeans, but it is, sadly, associated with people from Asia, particularly Muslims and Hindus, people from Pakistan, people from India. And it's the sort of thing that they would do, or some of them would do, if they discovered that their sister had been dating a Westerner, or their sister had been dating somebody they shouldn't have been dating, or if they took a dislike to their wife, if their wife divorced them. It was the sort of crime that was carried out in order to spoil a woman's looks, basically. And it's gone on from that to being used as punishment that these gangs will use. I mean, there are some horrific punishments, these gangs. They have this technique called bagging, where they will stab someone and try to get them in the bowel so that they end up having to wear a colostomy bag. I mean, it's absolutely horrific, the level of violence that goes on in our cities now. And to think that we actually have a MP, a sitting member of parliament, who is threatening to throw acid at a woman, no less, at her own gender. And of course, this is a crime of passion, because it's her boyfriend's female friend. So she's getting jealous of her boyfriend here, and she thinks the way to respond to that is to threaten to throw acid at this person that she sees as competing for her boyfriend's affections. Miss Webb, 56, was suspended from the Labour Party in September 2020 over the harassment charge, and has been sitting in the House of Commons as the independent MP for Leicester East. So she's been sat there in the House of Commons for the last year after this charge has actually been made against her. She didn't have the respect for the government and for our democracy to actually stand down and say, well, I will stand down until the trial, and then we will see whether I'm found guilty or innocent. She decided she was going to stay there in the House of Commons, even though the Labour Party had suspended her. And I wonder how she actually got to be elected in the first place, if she is the sort of person that threatens to throw acid in somebody's face. And I suspect that she may well have been selected because she was female. There was a big drive a while back in the Labour Party to get more female MPs. And the way that they did that was to shortlist only women in certain parts of the country where they were certain that the Labour Party were going to win. When they know the Labour Party are going to win, they can put any candidate they like in that part of the country, and they will get voted in. So what they did in order to get more women in, rather than getting people in on merit and saying, well, we'll put this person here forwards because they're most likely to win, they're the best person, they were putting women forward simply because they were women. And Claudia Webb is also black, so she obviously gets diversity points for that, as well as for being a woman. So the Labour Party can claim to be really ultra diverse here because they have a female MP who is also a woman of colour. And then this is the result. She ends up losing her temper, getting all emotional, and threatening to throw acid at this woman. And it really shows that even people that are really high up in society, if they're from a certain ethnicity, then they're more likely to behave like this. It's not just people that are in gangs. I mean, she is an MP, and yet she is threatening to do this sort of thing. This is something we have learned with statistics, because we can see that black people are more likely to end up in prison for violent crimes, about four times more likely than white people are. They are, I believe, 13 or 14% of the population in America, yet they're responsible for 50 or 60% of the murders. And we can look at studies that have been done that saw black people adopted into white families or adopted into middle class, upper class families, and they still end up with this same high crime rate. And we often see that there will be black footballers or rich black people that also end up, sadly, committing violent crimes or rape. And this is why we say that this is down to ethnicity and the ethnicities being different. And there are patterns that we can see, patterns of group behavior. And that's what this is down to. It's not down to racism. She can't claim that this was racism that caused her to threaten to throw acid at, this woman. I'm sure she very much regrets doing this. But what will have happened is that she lost control of herself. She lost control of her emotions in the moment. And this is what we see with that particular ethnicity. They don't have such a strong control over their emotions that white people do. And essentially, this says that they have diminished responsibility. We shouldn't be expecting them to behave like white people do. In America, we find that if you have an IQ below 75, I think it is, then you cannot actually be executed for crimes because you have this diminished responsibility. And we know that people of black African heritage have an IQ, average IQ of 70. So that they already have this diminished responsibility. That's the way that it is seen in the law. And essentially, this Claudia Webb, really, she could say, well, I have diminished responsibility. My ethnicity is less likely to be able to keep control over their emotions. And this is the evidence of it. And I'm not saying that all black people have problems keeping control over their emotions, but it is something that is more likely to happen within that community than within other communities. And the way to deal with this is if you had the communities separate, if we didn't have multiculturalism, if you had the black community living with the black community, they would all be aware of the fact that they might not be so good at keeping control of their emotions. And they would be aware of that and they would take precautions to prevent the situations occurring like this. And also when they got arrested for it, they would be arrested by somebody who was black. They would go to see a judge who was black, and they would understand what it meant to be black. They would understand what it meant to have a little bit more of a temper sometimes than other people. And there would just be much better understanding. And then you wouldn't have other groups in society which are less likely to be found guilty of crimes, that are more likely to have control over their emotions, groups like white people, groups like Japanese, Chinese, Jewish, and they wouldn't become the victims of these sorts of crimes. So it would just generally be better all around for people to be living in homogenous communities among their own people. It would lower the crime rate. It would mean that there were no accusations of racism. I mean, it's really just looking at reality and trying to do the best with it, rather than trying to pretend that reality doesn't exist and we are all the same. I mean, what we have here is an MP threatening to throw acid at someone, behaving in exactly the same way as we see these gang members behaving. And we can't ignore this. And how does this look to the general public to see MPs behaving like this? I mean, they're all talking yesterday at this eulogy for David Amos about the level of public discourse and the language that is being used. Well, what about the behaviour that we're actually seeing in the Houses of Parliament? What about this MP? And what about her behaviour? She was found guilty at Westminster Magistrates Court last Wednesday of harassment against Michelle Merritt, 59, and may face a prison sentence. I think it's very likely she will face a prison sentence. Westminster Magistrates Court had heard that between September 1st, 2018 and April 26th, 2020, Miss Webb had made a series of threatening and short, silent phone calls to Miss Merritt, a former girlfriend of Miss Webb's boyfriend, Lester Thomas, who remained friends with him. I mean, this is a common thing that goes on. Your boyfriend or your girlfriend will have ex-girlfriends or boyfriends that they remain friendly with. And again, we do know that amongst these different communities, the non-white communities, there is much more possessiveness that goes on between couples, much more possessiveness. And as I say, that this is why this idea of throwing acid at a former partner, this is where it really came from, is worrying that another partner was going to be going off with somebody else, or thinking that they had gone off with somebody else, and then trying to spoil them. I mean, one thing this reminds me of is there was a black girl recently, or a couple of years back. I mean, this was absolutely horrific. She threw acid all over her Dutch boyfriend, and he was covered from head to toe in it. And he was naked at the time when she did this. And he went to his neighbor's house, and he rung the doorbell, and he had so much acid on him that it melted the doorbell. And the poor man ended up committing suicide. I mean, absolutely horrific. So this is not a rare occurrence that people threaten to throw this acid about, or they do this sort of thing. And I'm just trying to think if I can remember anybody white being involved in this sort of thing. I think there might have been people of Gypsy heritage or Romanian heritage that were throwing acid about. Maybe they weren't Gypsies, but I think that's the closest that we've had to white people doing this. This is a rather negative aspect of multiculturalism, is that the communities that we bring into the country, they often bring in habits with them that didn't exist in this country before then, and acid attacks is one of them. I mean, we're told that diversity is a great strength, but the idea of throwing acid at somebody probably never would have occurred in Britain if we hadn't brought in these communities that sadly have a tendency to do this sort of thing. And again, I'm not criticizing the communities. We should just look at this objectively. The problem here is multiculturalism. The problem is putting all these communities together, where communities that don't have these sort of problems within them are at risk of these problems then occurring to them or amongst their community, because you have another community there that does have links to these sort of problems. The court heard that Webb was jealous of Miss Merritt's continued friendship with Mr. Thomas, and during the calls, some of which were recorded, she had threatened to throw acid at her perceived love rival, as well as to send nude photographs of the victim to her daughters, according to Sky News. And this really does show that she lost control of her in the moment. I mean, she knew she was a member of parliament, yet for the instant that she was threatening to do this, she had completely forgotten that. That had receded into the background of her thoughts, and all that was important to her was her emotions and trying to get even with this person that she perceived to be a love rival. This really shows that she was unstable. It shows that the Labour Party are not very good judges of character. And again, I would suggest that the reason why she's in the position she is in is because of diversity quotas. Prosecutor Susanna Stevens had told the court late last month, "The Crown say that Claudia Webb was in such a state during this call that not only did she query the nature of the contact and refuse to accept that Miss Merritt and Lester Thomas were just friends, she then went on to say that Miss Merritt was a, quote, slag, and she should, quote, be acid, close quote." So, I mean, she's not really even talking in coherent English here. She's using gang speak as well. I know they say that we want to have representation of all different classes in society, in the Houses of Parliament, so that everybody is represented. But does that mean that we should have representatives of the gangsters community that are in there? I mean, this is the sort of language that you certainly do not expect to hear members of Parliament using. The defendant further threatened Miss Merritt that naked photographs and videos of her would be sent to Mrs. Merritt's children. The court will hear that Michelle was perhaps not surprisingly caused considerable stress by this call, Miss Stevens added. And remember, that is children. That's children that are under the age of 16 that she is threatening to send pornography to. The suspended Labour MP denied the charges, claiming that she was only calling the woman as a courtesy because Merritt had been breaking lockdown restrictions, which at the time banned households mixing by meeting Mr. Thomas. I mean, that is a really laughable excuse, isn't it? I mean, how could she think that she was going to be able to get away with this when the phone call was recorded? And I think this is another thing that, another pattern that we actually see from looking at ethnic groups and the patterns that we can see from statistics, because if we look at the David Lammy report, he highlighted in there that when members of the black community are taken to court, they will plead not guilty far more often than white people will. I forget how many times more often, but he points to that being a reason as to why they end up getting longer prison sentences, is because they're far more likely to plead not guilty. And I mean, what that really shows is that they don't understand the court process, and they're sort of holding out right until the end in the hope that they will be found not guilty, even when there is overwhelming evidence to show that they are guilty. And what this shows us is that this happens even to black MPs, even somebody in the highest office of the land that is black is still going to plead not guilty, even when there is loads of evidence against them. So this is another difference between the ethnicities. Again, I'm just looking at this objectively. I'm not making value judgments on this, and I don't see how anybody could feel as if they're being incited to hate black people by this. I mean, it's just a fact that they are different to us, and these are some of the ways that they are different. And we should have government policies that take these differences into account. Miss Webb had alleged that she had made the phone call because we were in a national crisis and lockdown had to be adhered to strictly, going on to claim that, in fact, she was the victim. Incredibly, she's claiming that she was the victim. She says, "She was committing a crime. I was pointing this out. I am the victim," Miss Webb told the court. And I would suggest again that is another pattern that we observe with the black community. They always like to think of themselves as the victim, usually as the victim of white people, and white people will be portrayed as the oppressor, even though we do all that we can to help black people. We're even doing what we can to help black people here at Radio Albion by pointing out these facts. I mean, we're not talking about them because we want to hurt black people at all. We think that policy should be based on reality, and that would be best for people all round. It would be better for blacks, it would be better for whites, it would be better for Chinese, but be better for everybody if policy was actually based on the facts of the matter and were based on the facts that ethnicities do have different characteristics, and we do celebrate those different characteristics. I in particular find the differences between the races to be absolutely fascinating. I was always interested in this sort of thing. When I was a child, I was interested in how different tribes were, and different tribes in the Amazon and in Papua New Guinea. I'm absolutely fascinated by it. And I think it is something that is just natural to Europeans to be interested in these sorts of things. We're not talking about them because we hate these people at all. We find it absolutely fascinating that they are different to us. And yet we're accused all the time of oppressing them, when we've invited them into our country and we've put them in the highest office of the land. We have all these programs and policies in order to help them out and to try and even up the differences that there are. And the issue that I have is just that all the time we're being told that the reason why these differences are there is because white people are oppressing them. And I don't think we are oppressing them. I think it's because they are different to us. And I think this case shows some of the ways that they are different to us. Webb was photographed entering court holding Mr. Thomas's hand, with reports the couple are still together, but the Leicester MP had accused her boyfriend of domestic violence from the witness box. Incredible. Incredible that somebody that could threaten to throw acid in somebody's face can then go there in the witness box and say, but I'm a domestic violence victim. My boyfriend threatened me. She said, I was being goaded and gaslighted. This is all about domestic abuse and coercive control, she told the court, according to the Times, adding, I am not mad. I am a member of Parliament. So again, she's just trying to turn it around to claim that she is the victim here. And she thinks that because she's a member of Parliament, she shouldn't actually be treated like this. She shouldn't actually have to go to court. She should just be allowed to get off. And of course, this is the mentality that we see within the South African government and the corruption that we see there. And when members of the South African Parliament, when they're caught in corruption, when they're caught committing crimes, they don't actually get charged and they refuse to go into court. We saw recently that because the South African president had been accused of a crime, all the Zulus and a lot of the other tribes just went on a rioting, looting rampage because they didn't want to see their leader having to face charges. They didn't understand why he should have to face charges. He's the leader. And she clearly thinks that she shouldn't have to face charges for this because she's a member of Parliament. It seems alien to her that she should have to be in court because of this. And it will seem alien to her because it's not a tradition that her people have developed. It's a tradition that we developed as Europeans, that people that harmed other members of the community, they had actually harmed the community as a whole. The way that black people used to look at it was, if that issue is with somebody else in the village, how does it affect the rest of the village? It doesn't affect the rest of the village. It's just between me and them. And that's the way they look at these things. And I would suggest that's the right way for them to look at those things, because that's how they developed. They didn't develop to look at attacks on a member of the community as if it was an attack on the whole community itself. And we do see something similar to that happening right at the moment as well in America, in Chicago. There was recently a big shootout, and there were two black gangs that were firing weapons at one another. I think there were hundreds of shell casings that were found. It was all on film, on police security video cameras. And the prosecutor, I think her name is Kim Fox, she said, well, this was a case of mutual combat, so we're going to drop the charges. So because it was two groups fighting against one another, and because this Kim Fox is the district attorney for Chicago, and she has the power to drop this, so she dropped it, which would be a black tradition, that this is a fight between two different groups. How does it affect the community? It doesn't affect the community, so it's not. We're not going to prosecute charges. So we can see the evidence today of black people thinking in the same way is that they always have thought, because that's the way that they evolved as a group, and these are the ways that they evolved to be doing things, and we see the evidence of it everywhere. And again, we can't judge them because, you know, most of my listeners are white. I know that we do have some non-white listeners, but as a white man, how can I judge somebody who is non-white? I don't know the way that they think. I can't think in the same way that they think. I'm not the same ethnicity that they are. And I think one of our problems is that we just assume that all these other ethnicities think in the same ways that we do. And that causes problems, as we see, because people are complaining now in America about the fact that this Kimberly Fox allowed this mutual combat thing to go. And I'm sure all the black people there thought, yeah, that's fine. That's the way to do things. And then you've got the white Americans that are saying, well, no, that's not the way to do things. These people should have been charged. And again, in South Africa, you'll have the Zulu saying, well, these charges should have been dropped against the president there. And then you've got the white South Africans saying, well no, that's the wrong way to do things. So you end up with these conflicts in society by having these different ethnicities there. And I guess one of the ways we've tried to deal with it is by saying, well, we'll put members of these ethnicities in the government, like this Miss Webb in government, thinking that then that will sort of prevent these conflicts from occurring. But it doesn't. It doesn't prevent these conflicts from occurring at all, because they will always think in a different way to us, because they are different. Our eyes are not deceiving us. When we see people are a different ethnicity, that doesn't just mean they look different. It means that they're going to think differently to us. It means that they're going to have different traditions to us. They're going to have different body language to us. They're going to have a different culture to us. I mean, even when we look at different white people from different European nations, they have developed slightly different cultures to us. When you're talking about people that are from different races, they're going to think in a completely different way to us. That's logically what you would think when you see somebody that looks very different to you. And when we look at the statistics, we can see that there are different types of behavior that are associated with these different groups. Getting back to this article here, where she's been claiming that she was the victim and this was all about domestic abuse and coercive control. She then claimed she did not inform the police because I did not trust the police to keep black men alive or to treat domestic abuse seriously. So she's an MP and she believes this narrative that the mainstream media have put out there, that the police are just looking around for black people so that they can hunt them down and kill them. And she's promoting this. And that is not the case. The police are very keen to go after anybody that incites hatred against black people. They're doing the best they can to get the numbers lower of black people that are in prison. They're doing the best that they can so that they can't be accused of racism when they do their stop and search. And the reason why, usually the reason why black people may die when in police custody is because they resisted arrest. And that's what we see happening in all of these videos. And you would expect an MP, an educated woman, to know that and to understand that. But she doesn't understand that. She just sees it that the police are killing black people. And this is a real issue, because it does mean that when the police try to arrest somebody who is black, they think that the police are trying to kill them, so they then start resisting. They then start trying to fight back, or they start looking for a way that they can grab the policeman's weapons from him, or they'll try to run. And all of these things mean that they are resisting arrest. And that does actually make it more likely that they're going to be hurt by the police. And the people that are to blame for this are the mainstream media for promoting this idea. And again, it just shows you that we have these differences between the way that we think, because to her, it just looks like the police are killing black people and she doesn't trust them to keep black men alive. Chief Magistrate Paul Goldspring has said he believed some of the things that Miss Webb had said in court were fabricated, saying her explanation was frankly incredible and I do not believe it. And yes, it is quite incredible that she would think that anybody would believe the sort of things that she has come out with, that she's actually the victim and she was only phoning this person to warn them that they were breaking lockdown. Mr. Goldspring had also requested a pre-sentencing report before Miss Webb is formally punished at a hearing date to be determined with the judge, noting that threatening to send naked pictures to family members and to throw acid crosses the custody threshold. So she's likely to get a prison sentence for this. And she would have known that when she was first charged with this, that it's possible that she could get a prison sentence for this if she was found guilty. And instead of stepping down, she decided she was just going to stay there in the government. Miss Webb entered the House of Commons in the December 2019 general election, so she's only been there 2 years. She'd only actually been there for 9 months before she was caught threatening to throw acid. She won the Leicester East seat from former Labour MP Keith Vaz, who is of Indian heritage, or Pakistan heritage, maybe, who had decided not to stand for re-election after he was suspended from Parliament for expressing willingness to buy cocaine for male prostitutes. So another one that doesn't set a good example. I mean, there used to be a time when people that were in high office were expected to have the highest morals, and they were expected to set a really good example for everybody else to follow. And nowadays, we seem to think it's much better if the people that hold these high offices are more like everybody else. Like we'll be told that it's a good thing, maybe, that that they have they had a caution for cannabis, or it's a good thing that they've had 3 or 4 different wives and been divorced and come from broken families and have a broken family, because then they're more like everybody else. So instead of the people at the top leading everybody else, we're told it's a good thing that they're just the same as everybody else. I suppose that's the democratic principle rather than the aristocratic principle. And of course, the natural principle is the aristocratic one, where the very best person to lead is at the top, rather than putting somebody at the top because they're actually like the followers, rather than like somebody who should be leading. The MP said that she will continue to represent her constituents while she appeals the conviction, but the Labour Party has urged her to step down from her seat, with a spokesman saying the Labour Party strongly condemns Claudia Webb's actions and she should resign. I mean, she's really not shown any respect for the Labour Party here, and the fact that they were the ones that managed to get her voted in and they were the ones that gave her this position. She's just hanging on there for grim life with her teeth. She's not going to go until she's actually sent to prison. I mean, this must be quite embarrassing for the Labour Party here. The Labour list notes that following a conviction for a serious crime, the next stage in the party disciplinary process is exclusion from Labour. So they haven't even expelled her. I guess they're not able to expel her, and she refuses to leave. She thinks that she shouldn't be charged for this. She thinks that because she's an MP, she shouldn't be charged. So there you go. This is the sort of thing that we have these MPs doing, while at the same time they're complaining about the public discourse online, and yet they themselves are not setting the example that they should be setting. They should be of the highest moral character, and they're not. So it's rather the pot calling the kettle black to have the MPs saying, well, we don't like what people are saying online, on social media, when you've got MPs that are threatening to throw acid in somebody's face. Anyway, I think we'll leave that there. We've gone a little bit over time for today, so thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless, and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.